Jesus' name. Truly, I believe that we are a blessed people this morning. As Matthew shared this morning and said that their morning didn't go as expected. And I was pondering that this morning, just thinking about people rushing around the last couple of weeks and preparing, and they have expectations for what is going to take place today, and they're building up to that, and how many people will come through today with their expectations not met. Both children and adults. There's probably still many people even now that because of the storm that we had, life up to this day didn't go the way they expected. There's probably families that are mourning loss of loved ones because of the storm. There's people that don't have power that are trying to keep their houses warm. And there's others that have their houses flooded out because of all the unexpected rain that we got. So as I was pondering that and just thinking about the blessings that we have here, I just thought maybe we can just take a moment here, and if you have blessings that you would like to share, or prayers that things that are concerning to you, I'd just like to take a few minutes here and just open it up and give you opportunity to share the blessings that you have, and then we'll take some time and just pray before we have a message here.
Power out for about 15 hours. We have a little stove, and I was very
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. It, I guess the thing that really stood out to me as I've been pondering this is that we have Jesus and we have a gift that is you can't replace it. And the unexpected things, the storms of life that we have seen can come and go, and we have what it takes to see us through, and we can be a rejoicing people. I recently found myself taking someone to the emergency room, and I was standing there in the emergency room, and this fellow was standing there pacing back and forth, and I realized that he wasn't okay for one reason or another. I mean, I don't think it was because he was in physical pain or anything personally, but obviously there was something going on. And he left just a little before I did. And as I left and walked out to the sidewalk there, he was standing there, and I approached him and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "No, he's not." And I asked him, I said, "Can I pray for you?" And he said, "No." He said he doesn't do prayer. And it's like, oh, okay. And I don't hear that very often when I ask people if I can pray for them. And that was like, wow, that must be a hard way to live life. But that's... many people leave prayer till, if all else fails, they might try prayer, but this guy wasn't even willing to try prayer. And so I just want to remind us who we serve and what we have a lot to be thankful for. Let's just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do stand before you here this morning with thanksgiving, Lord, and we thank you that we have the opportunity and the privilege of being in a church here together as a body of believers. We know who you are. We thank you for the life that you've lived before us, and that you were willing to suffer and die, and that you rose again that we might have life. I just pray, Lord, that this morning as we ponder those things, that we would hold them dear to our heart, and Lord, that our hearts could be stirred, and that we would live our lives in a way that would bring hope and a desire to others to live for you as well. I just pray now this morning that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Give us ears to hear, Lord, and hearts to receive. And I do pray this morning for those that are traveling, that are not with us here, that are visiting other places. Lord, we just lift them up to you and just pray that they would be blessed and that they could also be an encouragement to whomever they're with. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The question that I would like to leave with us here during this message is, what does your life say about who Jesus is? And verses that I want to look at here in just a little further down this message is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 27. But before we... go there, and again, I guess we're reminded, if we've been out and about at all in life, we know that today that there's many people out there celebrating something. And it's, if you pay much attention at all, you see that there's some people that recognize are trying to bring to the forefront that Jesus was born in a manger and presenting the gospel and trying to remind people that life has meaning and that there's a God that we serve, but there's also many out there that are not doing that. But when we look at the simple gospel that is with Jesus' birth, is it's we're reminded that he's born in a stable, and the reason that he was born there is because there was no room for him elsewhere. And we, if we read God's word, we realize that Jesus came into this life with a mission. His life didn't just happen. And we just stop and think about that and think about our lives. And it struck me this morning again, it's like, you know, this is the last day that we'll, or the last Sunday that we have opportunity to be together as a body here and for a Sunday morning service. And are we, this year is almost over. Are we satisfied with what our lives had to offer this year up to this point? Or did we follow our mission statement? Or do we have a mission in mind? Or are we just going from one day to the next? We look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, we see the mission statement that Jesus shared here. And this was predicted before, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." We see in these two verses here the heart that those that Jesus was after, to preach the gospel to the poor, deliverance to the captive, bring sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised. And as we look at Jesus' life here, Jesus spent much time teaching and preparing his disciples how to live in what he had for them. Preparing his disciples and himself for what they were going to face. We see that as we look at Jesus' life, that he spent much time preparing the people and himself for the things that he was going to face. And what struck, just again stood out to me, even with having a mission statement, knowing what he was here for, knowing what he was going to face, and spending much time preparing his disciples, teaching his disciples, and being prepared for that time of suffering, of separation. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, Jesus' cry was, as that time was coming, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. This is the message of the gospel. And this is a piece that we often, as human beings, we don't like to, it's not a good feeling. Jesus, when he came, he was denied a comfortable place to be born. He came to help those that got hurt by this life. That was his mission. Reaching out to those that got hurt by this life, which is all of us, hurt by the world. There's many out there that got hurt by those that should have protected them. And as we study Jesus' life, we quickly see that Jesus lived a life of surrender to his Father. And he spent much time with his disciples, teaching them. Denying himself of the ease of life, but rather preparing his disciples to be prepared for life. When we look at the world in this time frame, and we watch the people of the world, we don't see them doing that. We see them chasing after their own desires and trying to find happiness in whatever. And I was reminded of that yesterday afternoon. I was sitting at home there, and we realized that we needed a few things in town. And so we realized that we didn't have enough of chicken feed to reach around. So it's like, okay, I'll go and get some chicken feed. And there was one or two items that we needed at the grocery store. And so I made my round to Nathaniel, and I went to town, and we went to Tractor Supply, and then we went to Shop and Save, and we picked up our item. And by the time we got there, Nathaniel had my phone, and there was a message that came through. It was like, well, we need this and we need that and the other thing. So we were merely going about picking up, trying to find some of the things. And as I came to the counter, Nathaniel was messing with me, and he said, oh, we need bananas. And it's like, what do you mean? And it's like, oh, I'm just teasing. He had... but in that process, Nathaniel and I noticed these two guys that were shopping, and they're grocery shopping. And what's so bad about grocery shopping? But, I mean, if you listen to their conversation, it was pretty bad. Because he said something, it's like, boy, I'm glad we only have to do this once a year. And it was like, grocery shopping once a year? And it's like, obviously they were talking about Christmas, I'm assuming anyway. And they didn't see much joy in it. And they obviously were not looking forward to the time that they had to spend with family or people. Or maybe they didn't have people in their life. So as we look at all the things that are going on around us and how disappointed that Jesus must be when he sees all the commotion and all the money that is spent and all the people that are chasing after something and not receiving what they're looking for. In John chapter 2, Jesus walked in on a scene like this in the temple there, and it was supposed to be a place where they met with God, and there was a lot of buying and selling going on, and I can only imagine what else all took place there. But Jesus was very saddened by that scene, and to the point that he turned the people out, because he seen what was happening in the house of God. So we see that Jesus really wants the people turn towards him. And if we turn to Matthew chapter 16, and I'd just like to pick up there in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Jesus asked he was spending time with his disciples, and he asked them this question: "Who do people say that I am?" And they responded in verse 14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So there was a varying, different people had different opinions about who Jesus was based on what they were hearing. But he brought it down to a more personal question here in verse 15 here. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" What do you think of this? In verse 16 here, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter answered Simon's question correctly here. And in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus told him the reason he understood who he was is because of, not because of flesh and blood, but because of his Father which is in heaven. And then he continues here in verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And then in verse 21 here, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." We see here in this verse that Jesus, it seems like that Jesus was change in how he was preparing his disciples here. He was showing them in verse 21 here, showing them the things that he was going to face, what life was really going to look like, what his mission was. And I'm sure they've heard these things before and read about them before, but they didn't really understand. And it's obviously here in verse 22 that they still were having a hard time accepting what Jesus' mission was. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Peter was not accepting his message, his teaching, and he didn't understand it, and he rebuked Jesus and said, "Don't talk this way. This can't be like this." But he said, he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter didn't understand Jesus' message, and he rebuked him, and here Jesus' response to Peter was, "The things that you're rebuking me are of Satan." And he told him that the things that thou savorest, the things that are important, that they're not of God, but those that be of men. How often is that part of the gospel, the sacrifice, the suffering that we're called to live, is left out? And we like to focus on the easy and the things that sound and feel good. And then when life gets hard, when the teaching gets hard, we feel like Peter. Peter wasn't expecting these teachings, and we see his response. In verse 24 here, we see that Jesus continued to teach his disciples after this here, and he said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Take up his cross and follow me. This is what he was teaching the disciples here. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." The message here that Jesus was teaching his disciples and he asked them the question of who he was, who he thought the people, what the people thought he who he was. And then he asked them the personal question, and then he taught them the things that he needed to live and how he was going to suffer and die by the people. And they had a hard time accepting that message. And then he continues teaching on how our life should be. And this is the message that we are called to live. And as we have lived our life, as we are living our life, what, as people observe our lives, who do we say that Jesus is? Are we, do people see us living a life according to these verses here, taking up our cross and following Jesus? A life that is willing to die for the cause of Christ. A life that is willing to do without. So often we look at, it's so easy for us to feel about things here and now. And obviously that's where the disciples were feeling, probably, is thinking about the kingdom of God. Jesus helping them and saving them physically here and now. How easy it is for us to get caught up with this kind of thinking. Are we living this life that Jesus taught about here? We see many people that are trying to, especially around this time of year, they're trying to find something. They're trying to find purpose or find fulfillment, and many will be disappointed. And the message that Jesus gave for us here is for those that have given their life to him. He's speaking to people that understand what he has done. They've seen their sin, they've confessed their sin, they have repented from their sin, and they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. And so the rewards of living a surrendered life is that we can show people. We can show people who Jesus is. And we can hopefully stir people's hearts into finding real meaning in life. In verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works." In Romans chapter 12, also talks about this living sacrifice. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If this is our mission statement, if this is what we're living for, we understand the life that Jesus has lived and why he lived the life that he lived, and we have accepted him into our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, has and is a reality in our lives when the storms of life come, which they will. And life doesn't go as expected. Like we, thinking about the physical winter storm that hit many people across the states and left people, some in the cold, some in floods, and some, many without power. When life, real life hits us and we're faced with it, and we can find ourselves still having joy and peace and being maybe not comfortable, very likely not physically comfortable, but we can turn around and have joy in our hearts, and we can share the love of Jesus to others in spite of the things that are against us, whether they're physically, spiritually. When we have that mission in our hearts, your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and purposing not to be conformed to the things of the world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we go through life, what are we giving people to read? Are we giving them the true gospel, or do we give them something that feels good here and now when things are going well, but it holds very little depth? So let's just allow the Lord to work that out in our lives, and to be a light to the world. And especially, I think of in like over Christmas, in holidays, that people have high expectations of something. And you know that you hear of many, many that their expectations aren't met, their wallets are empty, they hope to make their children happy, they hope to find some satisfaction in giving, and it just doesn't quite get what they want. And if we meet people like that, we have an opportunity to share with them the real gospel and show them Jesus by our life that we're living, and maybe even open God's word and show them what Jesus really came for, that he came, his mission statement was here to reach out to those that were lost, that are hurting, that are that are not making it, the poor, those that can't see, those are the ones that Jesus is reaching out to. And there's many of those in our lives and around our lives. And so may God just give us wisdom and bless each one of you as we allow the Lord to live and work through us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the blessings of looking into your word. I thank you, Lord, for each one here. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing and encouragement that they are to me. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to show your love to the people around us. I just pray for the many people that are out there that their expectations weren't met today because they were looking at the wrong things, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to show those people. We just want to commit today to you, and we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.